Our Bibles to first or the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 14, if you wouldn't mind. We're going to have a Christmas message this morning because it's that time of year again, okay? And then, as Jordan said, Christmas Eve, we will be looking at a message of hope as we have a candlelight service there too. I'd like to ask us to do something today, if you wouldn't mind. Throughout this day, would you guys please pray for the emergency workers that we have in hospitals and different things? Just pray for them. And at 7 o'clock this evening, if you guys remember, all of us jointly will pray at that point for them too. There are a lot of things going on, and so they're just men and women working very hard. So I thought it would be good for us just to pray specifically for them. So keep that in mind as they are dealing with a lot of different things. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 14, the word says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And today what we're going to look at, as you see on the screen there, is Jesus, or Christmas is all about, Christmas is all about, and then we're going to look at eight different things that Christmas is all about. But right here is the heart of the Word, what it's about. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's who we come to worship today, amen? That's who we truly worship. So we're going to look at these eight things very quickly, what Christmas is about. Number one, we'll see on the screen, I'm going to go through those and then come back through them. The birth of Jesus. We're going to pause. Obviously, it's about that. All of these things are no-brainers, but we're going to look beyond the birth of Jesus at the death of Jesus. What is Christmas about? It's about the resurrection of Jesus. It's about the ascension of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. It is about the return of Jesus Christ. Amen to that? Looking forward to it? Him coming back. It is about the free gift of Jesus. And also, Christmas is all about simply Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? It's all about Jesus. And then Christmas is about someone who will stay with us forever. And so we're just going to look at those eight simple points that we see in Scripture here. Very simple, but yet very important for us to consider in looking at that. So the first one we know, obviously, it's about the birth of Jesus. Again, 1 John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of Father, full of grace and truth." So when we see Jesus, when we draw close to Jesus, we learn about truth, we learn about His grace, we learn about so many different things. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of Jesus. It's not about the commercial things, though we can enjoy those and we can buy presents for people. If you want my size, let me know. My size isn't all that afterward. No, just kidding. But, you know, it's about Jesus. That's what it's about in that way. And so it's about the birth of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name," what? Emmanuel, God with us. And so we know that December 25th, more than likely, almost 100%, was not the day of the birth of Jesus. The shepherds were out in the field. And so we have not the winter time over there in Israel, though it's a lot milder than here. But then we would see that as one indication that He probably was not born on December 25th. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, you're familiar with it, but it's a beautiful thing, talking about the birth of Jesus. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," and then a description about the call on His life, "and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so we see Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. On a card that was sent to me, I found these words. It says this, "Amid the dim flicker of a dusty oil lamp, could be seen the light of the world. Amid the noise of the bleating barnyard sheep could be heard the tiny cry of the good shepherd. Amid the company of lowly shepherds from the hillside could be found the presence of the King of Kings. Amid our hearts can be found the fullness of God's perfect gift of love. That is the wonder of Christmas. It's what Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus and then the birth of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we see that the Christmas is all about the death and burial of Jesus. We can't have Christmas without going beyond just the birth of Jesus. Because we have a birth, many people have been born, but we have something that's wrapped up as we continue looking about what Christmas is about. We must include the death of Jesus Christ. When you consider what Christmas is all about, you cannot just stop at the birth of a baby. If you do, you miss the whole story. There cannot be any true understanding of the birth of Christ without understanding that he was born because he had to die. He had to die on our behalf. And so that's what Christmas is all about. In Psalm 22, verses 14 and 15, it says this, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. It's a picture there in Psalm 22 of the crucifixion. Jesus, what he went through on the cross for you and I. In Leviticus, it tells us why he would go to that cross. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There had to be the shedding of the blood of the innocent for the guilty. There was no other way. We learned that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. No other way. It had to be this way only. And God put it into motion. In Matthew 27:50, it says, And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And then we know that he died, giving his life for us. But Christmas is about the third thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Belief in the resurrection is tied into salvation in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Go with me to Romans chapter 10, just for a moment. I want to amplify that a little bit. That verse, those two verses we see there again in verses 9 and 10. Beautiful part of Scripture. But again, Christmas is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It truly is. But it's about salvation as we see there too. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead. What are the next four words again? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. What is Christmas all about? It's the birth of Jesus. What is Christmas all about? It's the death of Jesus. And we see, what is Christmas all about? It's the resurrection of Jesus. You can't take one away, or we don't have the completed work of Jesus for each and every one of us. And then fourthly, we see Christmas is all about the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 24, please. If you wouldn't mind, Luke chapter 24. There it says, as the Gospel of Luke is closed out, it says, And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now, Bethany, if you stand on most of us are familiar with the Golden Dome on the Temple Mount there. If you stand with the Golden Dome to your back, so you're looking east, what you'll see is the Mount of Olives. Bethany is around the corner. There's a mount. The Mount of Olives is there. And Bethany is just a community around the corner. It's built up quite a bit. But to give you an idea where this was. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass when he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Wouldn't you love to see that? Have seen that? Really? And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen? Amen. That's what Christmas is about. It's the ascension of Jesus Christ. Go with me to the 14th chapter of John, please. John chapter 14. Christmas is all about the return of Jesus. We couldn't have the story about Jesus unless we had also the return that he's coming again. Look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, in the way you know. How do we get to heaven? Through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. According to the Bible, if we choose to believe, if we believe in Christianity, there is no other way. There's all the religions of the world are all lies. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be cruel. There's only one truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Amen? He truly is. Jesus is all about the resurrection. Christmas is all about the resurrection. Christmas is all about the ascension of Jesus Christ. And now we see, fifthly, Jesus is all about the return of Jesus Christ. We looked at that. And then Christmas is all about the free gift of Jesus Christ. Free gift. Go with me to John. We're there. Chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Would you please repeat this word, this verse with me? John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I get to hear all of it from here. It's just a beautiful, beautiful verse. The truth is there. Christmas is all about the free gift of Jesus Christ. A free gift. Free gift. We don't have to work for it. For God so loved the world, as you guys said. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, the gift for you and I. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he's waiting to give you a free gift, a free gift, eternal life. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to say so many prayers. We don't even have to go to church, though it's a good thing to do. It really is. But it's a free gift. Most of you, all of you, if not all of you, know that. So we are blessed. We are truly blessed. Jesus is all about the free gift. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And I love Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know that verse too. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's a free gift. That's what Christmas is all about. The free gift of Jesus Christ. So, and then we see number 7. That was number 6. Number 7 is Christmas is all about, and I just simply put, you guys say the name. Jesus. Isn't that good? It's all about Jesus. You know, we've talked about it. It's all about Jesus. Why? Listen to the reasons why. Because Jesus is everywhere. Because Jesus rides on the wind and walks on the water. Because Jesus is an ever-present help. Because Jesus supplies all of our needs. Christmas is all about Jesus because Jesus stands at the door and knocks and then enters our hearts. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. That's why Christmas is all about Jesus. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Jesus knew our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, he knows our address too. He knows that we moved from 7711 Stratfield Drive to the new street in McCordsville. He knows that. He does know that. He knows everything. He loves us. He knows our history and our future. And he even knows how many hairs are on our heads. He knows all of that. That's why Christmas is all about Jesus. There's more. You want to hear more? Why is Christmas all about Jesus? Jesus has a full heart of love. That's important. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. Jesus says, cast all your cares for I care for you. And Jesus makes new life, mends wounded hearts, repairs broken homes, and builds mansions. That's why Christmas is all about Jesus. A few more. Christmas is all about Jesus because Jesus gives joy that is your strength. Jesus gives our gift. Jesus became our gift and died on the cross for you and I. And Christmas is all about Jesus because we need to remember who Christmas is all about. We need to put Christ back in Christmas. Jesus is still the reason for the season. Amen? You know, the world is doing its own thing, but we as Christians, we do a different thing. Christmas is all about Jesus. Now, we get to share, as I said, we get to sit down and open presents and all of that, but it's because of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing that we see there. And so I want to close the message. It's really going to be a short message this morning, but I thought it was an important message. I want to share a story with you. Two babes in a manger. Has anybody heard this story? Two babes in a manger. Oh, good. I might have your attention. Might be able to get it. I'll read the story to you. Many years ago, two Americans answered an invitation from the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics based on biblical principles in the public schools. I don't know if you'd be able to do that anymore, but many, many years, I think it was about 1994. They were invited to teach at prisons, businesses, the fire and police departments, and a large orphanage. About 100 boys and girls who had been abandoned, abused, and left in the care of a government-run program were in the orphanage. They relate the following story in their own words. It was nearing the holiday season, an opportunity for our orphans to hear for the first time the traditional story of Christmas. We told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. Finding no room in the inn, the couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edge of their stools, trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make a crude manger. Each child was given a small paper square cut from yellow napkins I had brought with me. No colored paper was available in the city. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid strips in the manger for straw. Small squares of flannel cut from a worn-out nightgown an American lady was throwing away as she left Russia were used for the baby's blanket. A toy-like baby was cut out from tan felt we had brought from the United States. The orphans were busy assembling their manger as I walked among them to see if they were needing any help. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old and had finished his project. As I looked at the little boy's manger, I was startled to see not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, I called for the translator to ask the lad why there were two babies in the manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at this completely at this completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very seriously. For such a young boy, he had only heard the Christmas story once. He related the happenings accurately until he came to the part where Mary put the baby Jesus in the manger. Then Misha started to ad lib. He made up his own ending to the story, as he said, and when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. I told him I have no mama and I have no papa, and so I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him, but I told him I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that I could give as a gift to Jesus. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. Oops. Where is the next page? My orders. There it is. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me, and he told me I could stay with him forever, forever. As little Misha finished his story, his eyes brimmed full of tears that splashed down his little cheeks. Putting his hand over his face, his head dropped to the table, and his shoulders shook as he sobbed and sobbed. The little orphan had found someone who would never abandon nor abuse him. Someone who would stay with him forever, for always. What is Christmas about? Christmas is all about someone who will stay with us forever. Amen? Very simple message. But again, let's just go back through it. Jesus, Christmas today is about the birth of Jesus. Today, Christmas is about the death of Jesus Christ. Today, Christmas is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today, we see that Christmas is about the ascension of Jesus. Christmas is about the return of Jesus. Christmas is about the free gift of Jesus. Christmas is all about Jesus. And Christmas is all about someone who will stay with us forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? So today when we celebrate Christmas, it's just not about a baby in a manger. It's about all that he did for you and I that we can be set free. Amen? And it's a message. Go with me to Romans chapter 10 as we close. It's a message that we get to share, and I pray that we would share. I challenged us last week. We had an opportunity, just a message about the gospel and how to deliver it. And I got a text from someone yesterday that they said that they took it to heart and they got a chance to share with an 87-year-old woman. How wonderful that is. And so look in verse 14 of John chapter 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's you and I, the preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel message simply is this. As we ask people when we come to them, number one, do you believe that there is a God? Do you believe that there is a God? Answer that in your heart, even if you've answered it before. The answer is yes. Then you can go to the next one. Do you believe that there is a person named Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Yes. And that he died for you. He was buried for you. He rose from the dead to the living. If you can say yes, that's important. But number three, do you believe that you've sinned against God? You've rebelled against God? The Bible says again, for all have sinned against God. So you believe that you have sinned and you have a need for that sin to be washed away, forgiven, taken care of. So number one, you believe in God the Father. Number two, you believe in Jesus Christ. Number three, you recognize that you're a sinner and you must be forgiven of your sins. And number four, sometimes the most difficult for people, you must receive Christ into your life. How does one do that? Simple. You just come to God in faith and say, God, I believe, I don't understand, I don't know everything. All that I know is something's in here, something inside of my knower is telling me that it's true. And then, and Lord, I just come and ask you to forgive me of all my sins. What is Christmas all about? It's about salvation. Jesus did it all for you and I. What is Christmas all about? It's so that we can take the truth and spread it to whomever, wherever God will allow us to share that wonderful message. Amen? God is good. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, such a simple message, but yet I believe so much truth placed in what Christmas is truly about. We celebrate as families. We come together and exchange gifts because we do it in honor of you. I pray that when we do exchange those gifts, that we would open to Luke chapter 2 and just share the Christmas story. Amazing that today we believe that a virgin was with the child and she gave birth to that child, and that child grew in age and had a purpose to the point that he would start ministry. He would come and humble himself. He would become one of us, but he would walk on this earth telling people about his Father, telling people about the way unto salvation. And there he would die on that cross so all could be saved of their sins. They would place him in a grave, but no grave could hold him. For on that resurrection morning, he rose from the dead to the living, and then he ascended into heaven. And I believe, Lord Jesus, you're waiting, and the door is cracked, and you're going to come back very soon to get each and every one of us. In the meantime, Lord, let us be your mouthpiece. Give us boldness in this world that it is in great need. Give us boldness to share the gospel message. We love you and thank you. And Lord, if there's anybody here that as you look down upon them and Holy Spirit, you reveal in their lives that they're not truly born again, not truly blessed with salvation, I pray as we sing this song that they would simply come to you, Father in heaven, and ask you to forgive them of all their sins. Jesus, that you would be invited into their hearts. They would pray that. And they would receive eternal life. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.